We come up from this period of being upset with phrenology and come up to a period of isolating the engram and actually having methods of running it. We could handle this engram. We knew it was the causative phenomenon. The picture. The fellow all of a sudden thinks of when his mother died, and then he can't sleep, and then a couple of days later he gets sick, and he thinks a thought, and then, damn it, he can't get rid of this. Just had an example of this. I saw a person who looked almost exactly like a person I certainly don't want to see anymore, just about an hour ago. And it was a very interesting thing. I took a look. Exact physical duplicate. Even mannerisms were duplicated in this person. And I said, "Huh." And I took a closer cognition at this, and it wasn't the person. It's just as though the two of them had been poured out of the same mold. I knew it wasn't the person. I went on driving down the street and realized that my GE, my body, was sitting in the car behind the wheel, sort of, fixed a little bit, and not quite in present time. So I said, "Here, drive that car." Not in present time. So I get down, and I took a look at all this, see, to find out what the devil's going on. And time has stopped. This picture out there in the physical universe caused the body pictures to immediately make a duplicate, which then went on a mystery. Was it or wasn't it? It went on a mystery because it was doing it by pictures. Get the idea? There were enough pictures of this person in the bank to cause a re-stimulation and a hung point on the track. Now, I think this is a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing when you get right down to it, that a physical picture out there can cause the body to mock up a similar picture of an old incident and then misown it in such a way as to have this former person, and a very despicable person, poised right here in front of the body's eyes. I think this is quite a cute trick. But it sure as hell took my body out of present time to a point where I was having a little bit of a rough time making the body drive until I took a look and found out that the machinery, you might say, of automatic responses called driving was stuck. By what? By the attention units which the body does have being fixed over here on a mystery. Was it, wasn't it? Was it, wasn't it? Was it, wasn't it? Wasn't, wasn't it? So I simply said, "Was." "Yeah, that's right. That's who it was." And thinking, that'd do something, and that brought the body a little bit more into present time. But finally I got back and said, "Now, which one of these remote viewpoints around here made that associative picture?" "Oh, that made it." Body in present time. What's the idea? We could have run concepts on it, but I looked around and found out which one of the associative viewpoints, remote viewpoints, body has lots of remote viewpoints, made that picture that was jamming the machinery. And the second the owner authorship was assigned, why it was gone. See that? And instantly the body unjammed. Why? It was no longer fixed. No longer had its attention fixed that strongly it could now drive a car. What's an engram do? Here was a picture. Saw a person in the physical universe. It made the machinery of the body present the body with a picture, which then stuck it on the time track. Because there's so much mystery about this picture. All right. Somebody comes up, says, "Let me take your picture with a camera, got a big lens. The person says, gong, 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 gong. I don't feel so good. Well, we trace this back and we would say, well, you see, what really probably happened is that this person was upset when a child being forced to stand still when pictures were taken of it. Unfortunately, this doesn't answer it. There's a thing happened about 1 million years ago on the GE line called a FAC-1. The picture's there. I mean, we're not in any big arguments. We're not saying the incident happened or didn't happen. We say there's a picture there called FAC-1. And camera and the body, very obliging, very agreeable. One of its remote viewpoints, whose duty is to mock up FAC-1s, says FAC-1. Only trouble is the thing has electronic impulses in it that about beat a guy's chest in. And the picture's there, and it starts going into action. The body realizes something is going wrong, and it stops the picture from going into action and holds it frozen. And so you don't have a guy just out of present time. He's fixed 1 million years ago. He's fixed at the date of the picture. Fantastic. Well, you know how long it takes to run one of these things. Now, all you have to do is just look around. Look around, say that made it. If it didn't, FAC-1 gets stronger. Look around, say, oh, the hell with it, that didn't make it. That made it. See? The body made it. Stronger. Get over here. That make it? That made it. See, we just say that experimentally. That made it. Getting awful strong, but this time the body is going. That's where asthma comes from, by the way. And then we finally say, well, let's see. I don't know. Let's see now. There might be one out there that made it. All right. There's one out there that made it. No FAC-1. And that's black magic. Because by the old-time standards, Dynex 1950, probably would have taken, 80, 150, 250, 300 hours to totally run out all of these FAC-1 pictures. Long look. Who'd process anybody that long? See, I mean, long time. Communication processing. All right, say hello to the camera. Have it say okay to you. What could you say to a camera? Let's separate these universes one way or the other. You're looking at a 25-hour job. You just wanted to strip out everything connected with this back one. Closer look, though, isn't it? Much faster. Ownership processing. So it just looks like we just about got there on the subject of manhandling his memory. But there's one place we're not in connection with this. That's relaying the information chip to you so you can use it. We haven't particularly worked on this. I haven't worked on this. Say we, the plural me. I just got through spending a week working with Preclear. And I was just trying to put this mechanism home to this Preclear. Took me a week. I don't know whether I got it very well across even then, but it took me a week. Just working with the Preclear and showing this Preclear examples in the bank. Or to get this principle across as to how you handle this. Fantastic. It's a long time, isn't it? Well, I don't say that there's any big barrier there about it. Let's go back and take a look and find out why this Preclear couldn't assimilate this. In the first place, if they assimilated the principle totally without being able immediately to do it, the universe would disappear for them. And they're scared of this happening, so they brace against it. All right, let's look at it on the other side. Let's look at it on the other side. Supposing that they assimilated this improperly and messed it all up and got more and more engrams stacked in front of them, all of them misowned, Boy, that universe and their body and bank and everything else would just be getting solider and solider and solider. Actually, any preclear must be very, very well aware, of this mechanism. We approach it with such diffidence. This is the double-barrel shotgun. This is how existence takes place. When I tell you about this, I'm actually opening up a couple of great big gates and letting you take a look at one of the more interesting secrets of this universe. It's here because of misownership. It's all in the creation of human ability, but the exact way to work it did not occur to me until about 10 days ago, something like that. Now, we used to have preclears that couldn't as is. In other words, they could go over a lock and go over a lock and go over a lock, and it just didn't disappear. You aware of such people? In the chart of human evaluation, you'll see a column in the original chart over here that says, don't run heavy engrams, so forth. That's because the person cannot as is. Now, we asked this person this, that, something or other about his bank, and, you know, give me some things that wouldn't hit you if you looked at them. Something on this order, and the fellow does this, and he could do it, and he'd 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 do it, but there's no characteristic change to his bank. There's no change to the preclear. The person who cannot run an engram. This is the rougher case for us to handle. Well, that case is solved today. If a person cannot as-is things, if he doesn't change his mind, if he's unable to look at something like this, he is under some kind of a miasma of misownership. He is misowning his engrams like mad. Now, I'll tell you the primary block, and that is why I talk to you about religion, not to upset you or to be funny. I talk to you about religion and such operations because it is the principal thing that upsets this. Everybody kind of privately knows that he should be responsible for all of his actions. He should take the responsibility, the authorship of all of his bad deeds. See, he must take responsibility for his sins if he wants to go anyplace. Now, that's a primary block. And there'll be a block in your preclear. You're running up against it all the time as you're working with a preclear or trying to teach him this. He knows very well that he shouldn't try to squirm out of being guilty. He knows how to get along in the courts of the world. He merely surrenders and says, well, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And they let him off. The hell they do. They give him 10 years. But he knows kind of how to get along. He knows he has to take the blame for everything he has ever done. Now, I said to you that as far as all the deeds of this universe were concerned, if you said, I was guilty of everything that had happened in the universe, if you said this yourself, you see, I am guilty of all the things that happened in this universe, you'd get into the most interesting things. If you took on all of your own sin, you would get on to quite an operation. Because you actually are only responsible for about one over so many thousands of zeros, see? Just some infinitesimal fraction which only approximates infinity. See? And if you say you're guilty of everything the body has done, it'll just stick you right in the body. Crunch! And that is the primary operation, to get a person to admit the misownership of things. And that is operation number one. Of course, there is another operation just above this. You have to get people on this one, obey the picture. I mean, but that's on the band of postulate. The other is an operation. He really doesn't realize what's happening to him with this mechanism. Only some infinitesimal part of the things he has done in his life, in all of his lifetime, are actually his causation. See? Some part of it is. See? But a larger part of it is not. And the re-stimulation factors don't belong to him at all. They belong to his body. In other words, the individual isn't carrying the germ. The body is carrying the germ. The pictures. So we get the re-stimulation factor is not owned by the individual at all. So if we make an individual responsible for all those deeds as represented by those pictures, we'll throw every single bad picture in his bank into re-stimulation. And that's why people come to you all spun in with religion. And the other misownership, of course, is God. They'd get the same effect if they said God is responsible for the whole works or Christ is responsible for the whole works. They'd get all the bad pictures again in full re-stimulation. Why? Whether the person did it or God did it or Christ did it or somebody else did it, you see, it's the wrong person, see, was assigned the ownership of these deeds or the guilt or the blame for these deeds. You get persistence and permanency on the part of these pictures. It is any misownership that makes them permanent. You got that? And so, an individual should take responsibility for his own pictures and also give responsibility for whatever made the pictures, and he'll be free. And that's that. It's the same goddamned operation. You'll be stuck with all your own acts then. You see, this is backfiring both ways. It is equally untrue. I am totally to blame. And they are totally to blame. These things are equally untrue. They're both misowned, see? God is totally to blame. I am totally to blame. Both those statements will wind the individual up in the soup. Both of them. See? He'd be in bad shape right away, instantly and immediately. He'll throw all the blame pictures into re-stimulation. Why? Because he's given them a gorgeous misownership. And boy, do they now have permanency. Let me let you in on something. Some of the things that happened to you were your mother's fault. Some were your father's fault. Some were your teacher's fault. The Army did some of them. The Navy did some of them. The government did some of them. The public library did some of them. Books did some of them. You did some of them. But 99 and 99 100% of the pictures involved with all the misdeeds belong to the body, not to you. And as long as we do not get the separation between the individual identity, you, and the identity majeure, the body, then the individual keeps accepting all these pictures as his, which is a misownership straight on down the line. So short of exteriorization, you don't get good as-isness. Now, the individual who won't blow a lock, that's old Dianetic slang, who won't blow a lock, who won't blow a concept, who doesn't cognite, who doesn't change his mind about his case, you give him a week's process and you test him again, you know, and you give him another week's process and you test him again, you give him another week's process and you test him again, same test results. This individual is simply chronically misowning. Chronically misowning. That's all that's wrong with him. And you can solve it with him if you can stay in communication with him. All you have to do is just to loosen it up so things will start as is. Just get the idea that the pictures own you and the pictures own your body and you own your body's pictures and your body's pictures own you and just various things of this character, just shifting his concept of ownership, not even letting him look, you see, but just to have him get the positive statement. All these pictures own me, you see, and so on. Back and forth, around and around. The next thing you know, he has come off of this stuck, persistence, non-changing ownership. See? He's come right off of it. And you say, all right, now tell me some things that you don't like about your father. And he tells you a half a dozen. He say, oh, well, the guy, he wasn't such a bad guy. Previously, the way he worked was this way. Now give me some bad things about your father. Yak, 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 yak. 2 hours later, yak, 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 yak. 2 intensives later, yak, 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 yak. You see why? There's a misownership about Papa. It may be that it's just my father. See? You know, ownership of father may be so violent and so resisted at the same time that you've got a gorgeous view here. But you get him the idea. Papa, he was not his father. He did not own Papa. Papa did not own him. And these two misownerships all by themselves are sufficient to louse up and make sticky the whole early childhood bank. Just those misownerships all by themselves. My father, my mother, my child, my son, you see. That alone is sufficient to make stick the entire childhood bank. That's why people can't remember their childhood. Now, if the individual keeps on saying, my body and my prenatals in early Dianetics. Oh, no. See? My body, my prenatal engrams. He didn't get that body till the day he was born. The day the body was born, he got it. He was not part of it until he was born. Maybe he picked it up when he was 2½. The body may have been 2½, 3, 4, 7 years old before he picked it up. That's a fact. So he goes on and says, my prenatals, my body, my engrams, you see, in the prenatal area. It isn't that the individual is weak at all. It's just that he is so misowning everything, you see. Both ways, he's saying, that which isn't mine is mine, and that which I did, I didn't do, and that which I didn't do, I did. See, all these conditions have to exist, and when he's got them all thoroughly reversed in this fashion, you say, all right, now at least we will run a lock with this guy. See, we'll run a lock. Now, tell me something about, tell me something about your last night's sleep and so on. You know, you had a good sleep. He doesn't even remember. Why? Well, they're not his memories when they are. They're his memories when they're somebody else's. Did you ever have a preacher sit down and tell you all about his childhood? Chatter, 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 chatter. They did this, they did that, and so forth. And he goes on and goes on, and nothing's happening on the case. No change is occurring. No change, no change, no change, no change. Yappity, 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 yappity. And I did this, and I did that, and yappity, 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 and I did this, and that, and so on. Did you ever have this happen with a preacher? And no change. You know what's wrong? He's telling you his mother's version. You get right down and say, now, do you remember these things happening, or were you told they happened? Oh, as a matter of fact, my mother has told me some of these stories, and I've gotten some of these stories from my father, and I've gotten some of these stories from my aunts. So you've got a misownership of childhood. Childhood belongs to mama, and belongs to the aunts, and so on. Of course, it won't as is. So if you want anything to change about an individual, you've got to put him into some kind of a condition so that at least some part of his engram bank's going to as is. And if you put him in good condition with relationship to ownership so that he will accept those things which he has actually created, and so that he is willing to say somebody else created something too, he will get so that it gets like this. All right, tell me about your childhood. Oh, I had a pretty rough childhood. I don't know, it wasn't so bad. Therefore, the biggest barriers on the track are two things. Control, where ownership is used as a control mechanism. That's a hot auditing button. Religion. It's not that control is bad, by the way. There are two kinds of control, good and bad. And I really ought to tell you about them. But of course, we're running out of tape. That's what's important. Want to tell you about those 2 points? I think I'm better. We have two categories of control. One is control on a knowing basis, which ends cycle. You got that? I mean, there's an end of cycle to the action being controlled. It's knowing control. A person knows he is being controlled. The person who is doing the controlling knows he is controlling. And it ends cycle, which is to say, the direction and intention of the control is expressed, and it does have a finite end. You see this? Now, that's a control. Now, control itself is start, stop, and change. So, therefore, we could say there is a kind of control which starts, stops, and changes with knowingness and intention with goals. See? And you'd just have well-run 8C, wouldn't you? Snaps pre-clears right out of it. Isn't that odd? It's not damaging. This control is not damaging. You could even say it's good control. To this degree, do you know that where it is not exerted on an individual in his lifetime, where there's no other factor seeking to control him, good control, see, knowingly, with intentions, goals, nobody's trying to teach him, nobody's trying to make him a better boy or her a better girl. Do you know that he's stuck on the track every time nobody wanted to work with him? Because time has changed. Nobody wanted to control him. Nobody thought enough about him to work with him. Of course, he really believed that if Papa controlled him, then he occasionally should be able to control Papa. See? You know? But his intention was knowing, his goal. He had an end of cycle in view. He said to Papa, "Let's go fishing." Papa said, "I don't want to go fishing." He says, "Well, it's a good idea to go fishing. I want to go fishing, and you ought to do something I want to do once in a while. Now, let's go fishing." Papa said, "Well, all right, God damn it, I tend to do something else. We'll go fishing." And they get out, and Papa finds out he has a pretty good time. He comes back, and he feels a lot better about it, you see. Why'd Papa feel good about this? Remember, Papa's been controlled. Yet he does. The control itself made time. Change. Changed locations, did things from an exterior source. In other words, somebody else was owning the control and the environment for a moment. And it was a pleasant environment to own. So he has pleasant memories of this fishing trip when his son made him go fishing. Reverse-wise, there isn't any reason why anybody shouldn't have a perfectly pleasant memory of childhood. It was a childhood which consisted, even if it were a childhood that consisted, he was broken out every morning at 6 a.m. His pop stood him on his head in a nice cold bucket of water. Told him to get those clothes on and square around and harness up his own horse and buggy and also get to school and so on. Actually, the fella comes through flying colors. And you say, "My God, anybody handled like this, see? You know, dress." Well, he'd be in terrible shape. We find a perfectly calm, upstanding guy. Nothing wrong with him. Why? Knowing control, Pop had no idea that he was doing anything but sending that guy to school to grow up and become a credit to the family. Get the idea? He had a goal in mind for the child. He knew why he was starting him, stopping him, changing him. The child never had any doubt in his mind as to what the goal was. You get the idea? And every time he said, "Do this," he wouldn't suddenly say, "Let's get over into the other kind of control. No, do that. No, let's do something else. No, I changed my mind." "What are you doing that for?" Now we get the other kind of control. There's nothing wrong with handling or booting around some other human being. Nothing wrong with it at all. As a matter of fact, you thrive on it and human beings thrive on it. Many a time when some guy's been a member of a good, smart company or ship or something like that, he will look back on that fondly, you know. "That was good. That was fine. Yes, sir. Man, we sure got hell kicked out of us, you know, and it's fine, and everything went along smoothly, and, you know." So much so that I became very curious in the war to find that there were some guys around who were called military martinets, and their ships were a scrambled mess, but there were some guys around who were tough. Tough, you know. My God, you say, why is everybody on that ship where that captain is so tough, why are they all happy? You know, why is that ship running well? You know, why doesn't he have some psychotic breaks in his crew? Look at what he does. I mean, he found one spot of rust on one gun and put a guy off liberty list for 3 weeks, which is illegal. Well, people on that ship couldn't possibly be happy. That man is a beast that's running that ship. He must be. Now, here's a good ship over here. Captain is kind. Crew wants to do anything, they do it. things lie that way. That's the way they lie. And everybody should be happy. The captain's always going to bat for the boys, buying them new baseball gloves and everything. And everybody on the ship, things falling apart all the time. And yet the men would just swear by this guy. They tell you what a fine guy he is. And they all kind of know it, but they're unhappy. And one of these tough ships comes alongside, all spark and Fort Maine, see? There's nothing but raw force. And guy's last to get transferred to it. This is idiotic, isn't it? Does man like to be handled sloppily? Does he like to be not handled? Just get that concept of being not handled. This super saccharine skipper, you know, all for the boys and everything, and never force anybody to do anything, and it's all going to hell. These men like to be handled that way? No, they don't. That's not handled, or just left alone and neglected. Do men like to be left alone and neglected? No, they don't. Do children? No, they don't. So much so, there's a process that you can prove this by the way. Get what your mother wanted to change about you, what she didn't want to change about you. Father didn't want to change. Other members of the family, people that you were around until you finally hit the weak one, who didn't want to change you in any way, who didn't want to no change you. You know, didn't want to leave you, didn't want things unchanged about you. Either way, and you get didn't care. And there you find the guy stuck. And there you will find exhaustion and weariness and upset. This was a person who was dragging his heels. He was making no time, see? This other individual was making no time for the kid by changing him. Kid has to have the rights to change the other person too, you understand. But both ways, or not, change is better than no change. And a determination to change people or things is very superior to just, we'll let them all go the way they want to go. Men drop dead from that. It's what kills men. Now, this may sound odd to you, and I invite you to run it as a test process. Get it run on you sometime. You'll be amazed. People who wanted things changed about you, see? Get some things your mother wanted changed about you, some things your mother wanted unchanged about you, some things your mother wanted changed about you, some things than other people, till we get some weak, floppy, wishy-washy, sweetness and light universe that was in the vicinity, see? And you'll just go, oh, no, boo. It's a horrible thing to fall into because your body's stuck at that point on the track. There's no pictures. There's nothing to resist. There's nothing certain about it. See? So we get what bad control is. Bad control is start, stop, and change without intention or goal. And no end of cycle. Now, most everybody objects to being controlled in this society today. He says it's a very bad thing to be controlled. So much so that he objects to controlling anybody else around him. And the society is going to die if that doesn't offer. There isn't any reason why you shouldn't be able to, practically willingly, on the principles of good control, see? Start, stop, and change with intention. Good goal and end of cycle. You understand? Shouldn't be any reason why you wouldn't want to exert that control. Or why you actually would object seriously to something exerting that kind of control on you. It would be so different and novel that you would be surprised. If you don't mind 8C run on you. All 8C does is substitute good control for a background of bad control. Now, life has handled the individual in this fashion. This is life. See? All right, now go over the wall. The door. Yeah, now touch the floor. What are you standing in that position for? Now, come over here. Come over here now. What are you doing walking across that rug? How would you like to have an attitude that ran 8C on you like that? It'd be pretty wild, wouldn't it? Well, that's chaos, and that is the anatomy of chaos. And bad control, the definition for bad control is the same definition of chaos. They have the same definition. Start, stop, and change without causation. No end of cycle, no intention or knowingness, no goal. And that's chaos. And so control can pass over into chaos. The difference is life. Now we take an individual, and he gets you to go over and touch the wall. And he says, okay, you touched the wall. All right, let go of it. All right, now let's walk over to this other wall. All right, let's touch it. All right, let go of it. And the guy is all nerved up for this horrible bad control to turn up, see, chaotic, you know. And it doesn't occur. We keep completing cycles of action. The guy is knowing his intention, his goal is to make somebody better. Goes right along very nicely, and the next thing you know, whether pre-clear is perfectly willing to obey orders, he starts handling his own mind, he starts handling things around him, he starts being more confident. Why? Because he's found the control, and he hasn't articulated it to himself, he's found control has two categories. One category would be good control, and one category bad control. He was as bad off as he thought all control was bad control. The primary identification which can drive a pre-clear into the deepest dregs of insanity is identifying all control with bad control. And when he does that, he won't even control his own body, and that is insanity. Now, by theory, this is very nice, this is very glib. But the oddity is, it's a lot more than theory. This works. This factor of control run on a case, introduced into a case, and introduced into life is highly functional. It works. If you're going to get somebody out, you're going to have to solve his identification of good and bad control as all bad. He's got good control and bad control. He's got them squashed right together. So all control is bad. So he won't control his body. Why won't he back off from his body? Because he knows he's having a hell of a time controlling that body anyhow. See? He won't get off from it. Now this works in processing, and whenever this factor has been used in processing, and it was used very spectacularly last week, but whenever this process is used of control associated with exteriorization, people exteriorize. Every time you straighten out this business of good control and bad control with a pre-clear by 8C, you get case gains. And if you analytically and knowingly could straighten these two things out and realize that force or method of control has very little to do with it. What is important is start, stop, and change with knowingness, goal, and end of cycle. We know control is going on. Starting, stopping, and changing is going on knowingly. The person who is being controlled knows he's being controlled. The person who's doing the controlling knows he's doing the controlling. And when an action cycle is started, it is finished. Going toward certain goals. Life becomes tenable. Life becomes livable under those circumstances. It only becomes unlivable when it goes over into chaos. And that start, stop, and change without knowingness on the part of one or both parties, no end of cycle, change occurring before end of cycles can be reached, and no goal. Just tumble on and on. That's bad control. Control itself is not bad. You understand? You can't say start, stop, and change is bad or good. You cannot say start, stop, and change is bad or good. It is simply start, stop, and change. It is action, it's motion, it's time, it's life. Start, stop, and change. All right. What then is bad? It is whether it is being done knowingly or unknowingly. If it's done knowingly, you've added some good factors into it. Unknowingly, there's the bad side. Whether it is being done with goals in view, or with no goal in view. And believe me, Control for the sake of control is no goal in view. You know, by the way, you never see a smooth control just for the sake of control, ordinarily. You don't see a smooth control. You'll see a jerky and erratic control whenever you have one human being controlling another human being just to control another human being. It'll be erratic. And good control finishes its cycles of action, and bad control never completes one. The worst control there would be just would never complete a cycle of action begun, and the end of that would be entire and complete chaos. So, if we could split these apart, we would find that even the insane would get sane. If we can split it apart in a person's mind. This insane person has believed control was bad, control was bad, control was bad, control was bad, until he himself stopped controlling his body, and now it goes into all kinds of erratic motions and erratic yap. Your talk bank is just running wild, it's out of control. Pictures are being presented, hallucinations, ownerships were all haywire, out of control. And we say that person's insane, and that's what an insane person is. If you want the basic definition of insanity, that's it. This person is out of control. And the anatomy of the philosophy which leads to that condition is to believe all control is bad control. And if you install this, there are guys around who try to make control so painful, so arduous, so pointless, so obsessive, that everybody will then at last believe that all control is bad control. And when they believe this, they lose control of their bodies and they go mad. You get a psychotic society when you've got that. If you've got a whole society where we all ought to let everybody go on just the way he wants to go and so on, and there's nobody ever going to interfere with anybody else, even vaguely, or control anybody else in any way, shape, or form, wind up with a bunch of psychos. That's an interesting fact. So you want to know how to handle a kid? It doesn't matter much how tough you are with a kid. Of course, you violate the A corner, the affinity corner of a triangle too much with a kid, you get a repercussion. You violate C too much, you get a repercussion too. But it would be much better to be very stiff with a kid, as long as you completed every cycle of action you gave him, than to neglect him and just say, well, he's a good kid, let him do what he pleases. That's the wrong approach. The better approach would just be to be stiff with him, tough with him. And the best one would be to control him on a two-way basis. Let him control you occasionally, you know. And do it with good ARC. Do it knowingly. Push him toward goals. He hasn't got any illusion about the goals you're pushing him toward. He knows what they are. You know what they are. And when you tell him to do something, let him complete that cycle of action. You can ask almost anybody, which of your parents would you rather have run HC on you? If this person is an auditor, he practically collapses. Usually he says, see, my father, yeah, my father would be much. No. Let's see, my mother. No, my mother, of course. She. She wouldn't ever run HC on me. And the most horrible tiredness is liable to come over the guy if you've run into him and his mother, no change. No change case, you know, no alteration or control. All right, now these factors together are very, very important data for you as an auditor, and the difference between well cases and not well cases. Now that I've got this data and working this data out, now I'm busy working out faster methods of running this data. I'm going to have to ask you to take your sights down, particularly I'm talking to staff auditors. Take your sights down from a 25-hour intensive. Let's have the guy in good shape at the end of 5 hours. Good shape at the end of 5 hours. Operating Phaeton at 25. Thank you very much.